Welcome to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. I'm Graham Richmond, and this is your wiretaps for Monday, August 9th, 2021. I'm joined by Alex Brown from Cornwall, England. Alex, how are things over there?
Very good. Thank you, Graham.
And I say over there because I'm still here in America, and I want to tell you about something I did the other weekend. I finally made this sort of pilgrimage trip to a place called Falling Water, which I don't know if you've ever visited or not, but it's a house that was built by an architect, Frank Lloyd Wright. It's like an hour south of Pittsburgh, and it was absolutely fantastic. It's a house that's literally built into a waterfall, and it was like a private home of some wealthy family, and yeah, I love this kind of stuff. It's probably a little bit nerdy for some of the folks tuning in, but it was always like a goal of mine to get to this place and see it and just to see how he designed this house to sort of really fit in with nature. And he also designed everything inside the house too, pretty much. So it's just a really cool place to visit. But I don't know if you ever made it out there when you were living in the States.
I'd never even heard of it. I've heard of Frank Lloyd Wright.
Yep.
Is that the name?
Yep.
But yeah, unlike you, Graham, I'm not a design or architect geek.
Yeah, and I think he's most famous for having built the Guggenheim Museum in New York, which most people know. But yeah, so that was fun. I guess you're just taking advantage of summer weather out there, getting down to the beach.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, it's odd actually. Having lived in the States for lots of years, August is the hottest month. For us, it seems to be June, July.
Ah, okay.
It seems to starting to already ease off a little bit here.
Okay, got it. Yeah, it's been pretty hot here. So so over in the MBA admissions universe, which is probably why our listeners are tuned in, there hasn't been a ton going on. I mean, I mentioned in last week's episode, we have this great chart that helps you kind of keep track of all the round one and early action or decision deadlines or whatever, early decision deadlines, et cetera. So that's up on the site. And then I've been rolling out these podcasts, on the site and also in this feed, where I've been sitting down with admissions directors. So we had, a couple weeks ago, we'd done Chad Losey from HBS, and literally a few days ago, we released one with Kirsten Moss, who's the assistant dean of admissions over at Stanford. So that was a lot of fun to sit down with her. So we've done, Columbia, Wharton, Harvard, Stanford, and I got to actually record some additional ones, but that's been just so much fun.
So tell me, what did you learn from Kirsten?
She had a lot of good stuff. She's, obviously some of our listeners may know, she used to sit as director of admissions at HBS, and she ran Harvard's career services office for a time. So she's, who sat at that top seat at both of those schools? Like probably her, and that's it. I don't think anyone's ever done that, right? So needless to say, she's kind of an expert in assessment and understanding how to, pick the right people for these top programs. One thing, I was just going to read a little quote, actually, because she had some good stuff to say about essays, which I know people are always interested in. And she said, "If I were giving advice to an applicant out there who's thinking about applying or starting the process, my tip would be to make sure that you cover both who you are and what you've done." And she said, "The goal of our application at Stanford is really to give the applicant plenty of real estate to share both of these things." And she said, "We're interested in your achievements. We're as interested in your achievements as we are in the context in which they've happened. So if I were starting the application, I would want to think about two or three stories that I'm most proud of. This is the part of the application where we want to know about your achievements, but in your context. It's not about being president of your class or being an Olympic medalist. It's really about what you have worked towards and what you care about." So I thought that was good. And it obviously fits with, their essay topic or the first essay about what matters most to you and why. But I just thought that was useful advice and, some concrete advice too about just figuring out what are you proud of? What have you done and how can you share it and stuff?
Yeah, good guidance. Very good. As you know, I'm a huge fan of that essay. So yeah, any little nuggets that she can share is going to be super helpful.
Yeah, and I did mention to her that you're a fan and that you tell people to write it whether they're applying there or not, and she thought that was really funny. So yeah, I wanted to mention that to her because
nice.
We're always talking about it.
Nice.
So the other stuff is that, we don't have no events coming up. In secret, there are events. They're going to be in the fall, in September, October, but we haven't started promoting those yet, so stay tuned there. And then we'll continue to do Clubhouse every Thursday. We're actually recording this on a Thursday, so we'll be chatting a little bit later on Clubhouse. It's always at noon Eastern. So stay tuned for that. And, you know, we haven't had any, you know, big like reviews or, you know, kind of whatever fan mail come in over the last week. Although I wanted to go back to something that somebody asked a while ago and that I realized we never addressed. And that is, there was a question on one of the ApplyWire entries, you know, going back a few weeks, where someone specifically asked, why do I live in Paris? I don't know if you remember that one.
Yeah, why would anybody live in Paris? I think that was the question.
Spoken like a true British national, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So in any event, I guess this person was just curious. And I live in Paris because my wife is French and we, you know, met in college in the US and then moved to France not so long thereafter, I guess after completing, you know, business school and all that stuff. So it's more of a personal thing and just have been there a long time now. So, but I'm definitely enjoying my time back home in America this summer, getting some time to roam around. So that's been good. Obviously, if you have burning questions, you can always email us at info@clearadmit.com. Use the subject line wiretap so that it gets flagged for Alex and I to look at. And feel free to reach out. We're always happy to hear from you.
Yeah, quick shout out too, though, Graham. We are doing they call them AMAs, Ask Me Anything, on Reddit, on the MBA subreddit. So if folks are on Reddit and want to ask us questions, you can go to our thread on the subreddit. That'd be fantastic too. It's been a lot of fun actually answering some questions over there on Reddit, Graham. And yeah, it's quite an active discussion thread.
Yeah, that was a fun thing to do. Like I wasn't sure, you know, when Mike on our team put that up, whether like people would ask questions or not. And it's been kind of gangbusters. So yeah, good call to mention that. I think it's the thread is, you know, RMBA is like the sort of subreddit where a lot of this discussion happens. And then we have an AMA set up within that. So yeah, people can head over and check that out. Otherwise, should we move on and get into the wiretaps portion here?
Let's kick on.
All right. So this is wiretaps candidate number one. So this candidate wants to start in fall of 22, and they have 7 schools on their target list, and those schools are Berkeley, Harvard, Wharton Lauder, MIT, and NYU, and Yale as well. They want to get into management consulting, or they've been in management consulting, and they want to stay in consulting when they're done. They talk about maybe getting into something specifically known as integration consulting. So I'm not sure if you have an idea what that is. I'm wondering if it's kind of post-merger type stuff, but anyway, maybe we'll find out more. GMAT score 730, GPA is a 3.0. They've got 4 years of work experience. They're located in Chile and they want to land in the US. And they did mention that they're a 28-year-old male from Chile. They studied business administration at PUC, which I know is Chile's top business school. And again, they've, you know, been working all over Latin America on these consulting projects, and they know that their GPA is kind of a bit of a red flag, and so they wanted our kind of take on that. They also do a number of, you know, outside activities, and then there's another wrinkle, which is that their wife is applying with them, and so we'll get into that as we discuss this candidacy, because it sort of, it all weaves together. But I did want to mention that. And I think they also mentioned they're interested in art and art history. So hopefully they enjoyed this discussion of Frank Lloyd Wright's house out there in random, you know, rural Pennsylvania. But anyway, Alex, what do you make of this candidate?
Yeah, no, I mean, this is actually a really interesting case. And I know, like you say, we're going to talk about this idea of applying as a part, you know, as a married couple, as part of this conversation. But On the surface, you've got someone that's probably got really good work experience. So let's just make that assumption. It's across several countries down in Latin America. It looks like they've done very well at work and so on and so forth. And it also looks like they've done well outside of work. They've done some interesting things. So let's put a massive checkbox there.
Yeah, and I'm just going to interject that they have been promoted 4 times. And they've been exceptionally assigned the role of co-manager for their office, which covers Chile and Argentina. So like, this is someone who's quite senior within a fairly short period of time. Yeah, so I agree. Big check mark there.
Yeah, so let's put a big check mark there, which is one of, you know, fundamental, super important aspects of the candidacy. Let's also put a check mark on the GMAT score, Graham. This is a 730 coming out of Latin America, and I would argue, without sort of getting into the nuances of different regions of the world, that a 730 out of Latin America is actually a super, super score. So big check mark there. So then you start to think, well, actually, this is a super strong candidate. There's clearly a little bit of a bump in the overall candidacy because the GPA is not outstanding. And it looks like maybe in the third year of their academics, they hit some significant bumps. There's going to be some context. They're going to need to explain this stuff, what happened and so forth. And also, you know, they suggest, or at least, you know, during the final year, they were doing some pretty interesting stuff in college and so forth. So, but certainly this GPA is the sort of the red flag here. And I make this point, and I, again, was having a conversation with I don't know if you call it a conversation, but a discussion on Reddit. And the idea that, and I'm a big believer in this, the most important part of any candidate's profile application is going to be the weakest element, because, like, for instance, in this candidate's case, it's ultimately going to be this GPA that's going to determine which school they're going to be successful in gaining admissions, because all the other stuff is super, right? So all the other stuff means they're going to get into a top program, but the GPA might ultimately become that little bit of a stumbling block. They've done, I will say, they've done the MBA math, they've done well. That shows great self-awareness as well as shows preparedness. And also, again, the GMAT's ridiculously high, so kudos. So I'm a little bit, on the one hand, I think, again, as a South American candidate, with the high GMAT and outstanding work experience, that schools might ultimately, even top schools might ultimately want to take the risk with a candidate like this. We're then going to add in the additional complexity of you know, partners applying, and let's make the assumption that they want to go to the same program.
Right.
And the partner is outstanding academically, and looks like she also has great work experience. We only know what she's done in terms of the industries. We don't know necessarily how successful she's been, but the, you know, these are top industries. So let's assume she's been super successful. So at the end of the day, the partner looks super, super strong, except for, ironically, in this case, the test score. So they graduated top 1% in the same undergraduate program that the candidate went, the author of the profile went to, but they got a 650 on the GMAT. Now, what they've done, Graham, is taken this executive assessment, and you could talk to me all day about the executive assessment. I still don't really understand it. I do see some top schools now accepting it. I'm not sure why they're doing that, other than seeing it as a way to sort of open up the applicant pool even further. Whenever I see an executive assessment for full-time candidates, I'm immediately thinking they're avoiding a GRE or a GMAT score, and that's a problem. So, yeah, I know that's a little bit of a downer to leave that on, but I'd love this candidate to retake the GMAT. If they got even a close to a 700 on the GMAT, I'd see both of these candidates going to a top program together.
Yeah, so I think this is a really interesting case because you have, you know, two great candidates, but each with a flaw. They're applying together. It'd be awesome if, like, they could just use one of their GPAs and one of their test scores as a single profile or something. But that's not how this works. They did say, by the way, the person, the original, you know, the poster, the guy said, "I would love to be featured on the show." And they mentioned that they are that they love the podcast. So I do think, though, that, you know, I believe that the guy who has, you know, this sort of GPA issue, I had thought that somewhere, you know, did this person say that they'd taken one of those, you know, MBA math type things or no?
Yes. Yeah. They've done MBA math.
Yeah. They said they completed MBA math, achieving 100% on all their topics. So that's a good sign, and that'll help. And they can explain the context. I also think that, you know, they mentioned they're ranked kind of 150 out of 335 in their class. So they're, you know, just a little bit above average in their class, but it is from the best business school and a really notable university in Chile. And the GMAT score is good. So, you know, work experience outstanding, et cetera, right? So I think this person can get into a top school with this current profile. I think the fact that they're applying with their partner, who is also extremely qualified. I mean, you know, this the one of the funny things is that the woman graduated from the same university, but with really good grades. She was in the top 1% of the class. So she's actually making him look bad a little bit, right? Because she has such good grades from the same institution. But I think it does overall help their chances. I, like you, would have loved to see her retake the GMAT and get like even a 680, because I think that would have opened doors at some of the very top schools. You know, the executive assessment is increasingly accepted. I know that, you know, I think MIT, obviously Columbia, as they mentioned here, take it, but not all the schools take it yet. So, you know, for example, if this couple wanted to go to Harvard or Wharton Lauder, I don't think that they can do that with an EA score. So, and that's a shame, because I feel like they could end up at those programs and they should be targeting those programs. So it's a little bit of a tricky situation. I would almost argue that they should still apply to those schools, even with these existing scores, because you never know. And they did mention they're going to apply early decision to Columbia, which, you know, I think they're going to get in there, frankly, if I had to guess. I mean, this is an interesting couple with great work experience. There aren't a million Chileans in the pool. Everything kind of lines up. So I think they'll get in, and then they'll be faced with this decision of like, oh, you know, where else should we look or have looked? Because it's meant to be binding, right? So that's the only thing I would mention with this one is, I guess if they're willing to just go all in and end up at Columbia, I think they can land there.
Yeah.
I'm pretty confident. But then you kind of, you know, the candidate mentioned, like, the guy says he's interested in Wharton Lauder, which is a whole other type of program. And so I wouldn't want that to be out of the equation just because of an early, you know, early decision type thing. So it's tough, but I think they're quite compelling as a pair.
Yeah, I would completely agree. Yeah.
Yeah. So probably enough said, because that was a very complex post to get through. But again, appreciate them sharing, and obviously appreciate that they listened to the show. It's so awesome to know that, you know, we're gracing the airwaves down in Chile somewhere. So very cool stuff. Let's move on and talk about Wiretap's candidate number two. So this is a candidate who also wants to start in the fall of 22, and they have six schools on the target list, which includes Stanford, Wharton, Darden, Owen, Yale, and a school that they just listed as other, so it's not a school that was in the pick list on our site, and I don't think they explained what school it was. Maybe they did somewhere else, but I didn't see it. So in any event, very interesting candidate in that they have a pre-MBA career in education and philanthropy, and they'd love to stick in a kind of nonprofit social impact role post-MBA. They have a 780 on the GMAT and a 3.9 GPA. They've been working for 6 years. They're located in Memphis, and they would love to land in the southeast of the U.S. Very interesting work experience in that they started out their career as a Division I football coach. They did that for a short time, about a year, I guess, and then they went into Teach for America, where they taught for 3 years. And then they pivoted and have begun work over the last 2 years as a research manager for a philanthropy that invests in local nonprofits to improve outcomes for low-income students. So, you know, this is a really unique candidate. They're thinking about a dual degree in education, and they, you know, again, want to stay in the Southeast. They're from Alabama originally. They have some outside activities. They do mentoring for secondary students. They're a triathlon marathon runner, and they belong to like a training group. And so there's a lot going on here. Very qualified candidate, unique goals. What do you make of their school selection and chances, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, this is a really interesting candidate. I think they could go one way or the other in terms of their application execution. If they execute very, very well, I wouldn't be surprised to see them at one of, you know, the very top schools. So they've selected Stanford and Wharton amongst their choices. They've also targeting schools in that sort of southeast region, because that's ultimately where they want to land.
Right.
They want to go to Alabama, I think, and that's sort of their home base post MBA. So let's focus on a couple of quick points. Their numbers are outstanding. I mean, they're ridiculous, right? You got a 3.9 GPA with a 780 GMAT. So absolutely fantastic. Now, their career has been a little bit, well, it's unorthodox, let's call it that, right?
Yeah.
Unorthodox can play both ways. And this is where I think we're going to either see an outstanding candidate or someone that misses the mark, depending on how they articulate the sort of their experiences, their growth, their learnings, and so on and so forth, and how the MBA is the next logical step, or at least the MBA with the dual degree interest and so forth. So they need to show, with this unorthodox experience, one, that they're obviously going to stand out in the applicant pool. Well, that shouldn't be very hard at all. They will, just by the very nature of their work is being very different. But they also then, on the other side of it, they need to show that their work has that sort of same level of rigor, as it were, as more traditional work does.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're competing, you know, especially if they are ultimately going to target the likes of Stanford and Wharton and so forth, you're competing with folks that have gone, you know, to the very best sort of career settings, you know, top consulting firms and top banks and top tech firms, and done amazing things. So you've got to show, not tell, but show that you have that sort of same level of experience, as it were. If they can do that, that would be incredible.
Yeah.
Then they make them a truly outstanding candidate. If they can't, but they show that they're good and good experience and whatever, they're still absolutely in the ballpark for most of the programs that they list. So they're a candidate, ultimately, Graham, that will automatically stand out. Their goal is to show they fit in.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's interesting because the fact that they're applying for the dual degree, and looks like in many instances, and I agree, you know, one of the nice things about Stanford and Wharton is that both have really good schools of education and joint degree type offerings. And so I think, you know, makes a lot of sense. But I think you're absolutely right. They need to, sometimes if a candidate's work experience comes across as not being, you know, sort of MBA relevant or something, and they're looking at a dual degree in another kind of non-business discipline, you get into that sort of territory of like, should they just get a master's in education, or do they really need the MBA, or do they know what they're getting into, you know, kind of thing. And I'm sure, I mean, everything that this candidate has said in their post leads me to believe that, you know, no problem, they're going to be able to explain their goals and even speak to their work experience in a way that feels very MBA relevant, if you will, despite it being unorthodox. So I have all the confidence that they're going to be great. I do think that, you know, it's going to require, like you said, some effort to sort of show that they fit in, that they're excited about the MBA core curriculum, you know, and how it will help them. And you know, I think a lot of it's just going to be, they should connect with others who've done these dual degrees and talk to the MBA students in these programs they're targeting, make sure they really can speak in a very informed way of what they're getting into and how excited they are about it. But I got to give a shout out. Their handle on the site is the Teach Beast from the Southeast. I thought that was pretty good. And I think that, you know, they did also mention something that I really wanted to highlight, which I thought was pretty touching. They said in the original part of their post, they just said, "I've been considering applying for my MBA since 2019. And after some candid conversations with mentors, not to mention listening to nearly every episode of the Clear Admit podcast, I'm finally ready to take the leap." So I'm just thrilled that they've been along with us for this journey and that we've kind of helped provide some insight. But I think this person can pretty much write their ticket. Did you have a thought about like school selection? Because they have, you know, Stanford and Wharton, which, you know, are kind of top of the heap type stuff, particularly, as I said, with a dual degree type stuff. And then they have, you know, Vanderbilt, Darden, which are kind of, you know, obviously in the Southeast. They have this other school, which I'm assuming is going to be another school that's maybe in the Southeast that's not in our database or something. But and then they had Yale, which would be a great fit too for obvious reasons. But did you feel like, are there others that they should have on the list that like we're missing or no?
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. So for a candidate like this, they know they want to be back in Alabama, right?
Yeah.
So they have a geographic focus. So to me, their strategy should be twofold. One is either try to get into the very best program that you can, i.e. get into an M7, because that will provide you the adequate geographic flexibility to get you to Alabama. Or apply, you know, really figure out which MBA programs have the strength of networks in your region.
Right.
And that might well be, they've listed Owen,
yeah.
And they've listed Darden,
yeah.
and so forth. Might also think of Emory as an example,
yeah.
In Atlanta, and so on and so forth. So it's that dual strategy. I just wanted to pick up on one other point, Graham, because you know about this more than me. But the guy says, I was sorry to see England lose in the Euros, obviously. But I hope you were able to enjoy the US's big win in the Gold Cup. I didn't know that the US compete in a horse racing event. Like, is this the Cheltenham Gold Cup? Like, what is this Gold Cup?
So now, you know, I'm not a football fan, really. Like, I kind of peripherally, you know, follow it because I live in France and it's sort of everywhere. But my understanding is that the Gold Cup is a competition between North American and Central American football clubs.
So it's like Division II football.
So it's the U.S. and Mexico and a bunch of, I think the Caribbean's in there too. And yeah, so basically from Canada down to Panama with the Caribbean thrown in. So yeah, so the U.S. beat Mexico, if I understand correctly, but it sounds like this isn't impressing you.
No. It's kind of like Man City winning the Cheshire League or something like that.
Right.
Probably not prime time, but there we go. Anyway, yeah. We wish this candidate the best of luck.
Yeah, sure. You're really showing your true colors today, Alex, between the kind of France comments and the football stuff. But yeah, no, I agree. This is a really great candidate. The thing that I was trying to tease out earlier, actually, is I wondered whether, Columbia has a really good school of education as well. And I was like, oh, do they need another M7 on the list? Or right now they have two M7s and then they kind of focus on the, it's either stuff's very specific to what they want to do, like Yale, or then, you know, they have Darden, Vanderbilt, which are more regional for where they want to be. Anyway, just some thought.
I'd also throw out there, Graham, just make sure that the dual degree is the route to go.
Yeah.
Because most MBA programs, you can take education-related electives as part of your MBA curriculum.
Yeah, you can get a couple in.
So it, you know, not a lot of folks ultimately end up doing dual degrees, and that's one of the reasons.
Yeah, so they might want to look carefully at that too. Again, my hope is that with these numbers and this profile, and as long as they weave their story together, they're going to end up at, you know, Stanford or Wharton or somewhere like that.
Yeah.
But again, best of luck to them. Thanks so much for the post. And yeah, I really appreciate that they have listened to so many episodes. So that's more than anyone in like my family has listened to. all right, so let's move on and talk about Wiretap's candidate number 3. So this is another ApplyWire entry. The candidate has 5 schools on the target list, and they are Cambridge, the Indian School of Business, INSEAD, London Business School, and Oxford. They want to start next fall, so fall 22. They've been working in tech consulting, and they want to get into technology after business school, ideally at like sort of Amazon, Apple, Google, but also they have a bit of a music focus. So they listed Spotify, ByteDance, Tidal. They also have Netflix on the list. So a lot of possibilities post-MBA. GMAT score 730. GPA is a 3.2, and they've been working for 6 years. They're based in India, and they would like to land in Europe, hence the European, largely European list of schools there. They mentioned that they've been working as a tech consultant at a Big Four for the past like 5.5 years. And they also had done a stint with a startup for about 6 months. So that's those 6 years of work experience in total. But they also mentioned that they are a professional musician whose band is decent in the local independent music scene. Our original compositions, I'm quoting here, have been streamed on digital media like YouTube, Spotify, etc., over 300,000 times. And they mentioned they want to get into tech strategy and product management, ideally with a digital streaming company short term, and then in the long term they want to build and operate a startup that helps indie musicians to do the digital pivot more easily. They do some extracurriculars, they play football, and they have curated a TEDx event, so they've got, you know, do also some NGO work. So what do you make of this candidate? Because on the surface, kind of, you know, Indian 733-2 tech consultant. But there's another layer to this candidate. So what do you make of them?
Yeah, I'm going to ask you quickly, Graham. Panama, who everybody listening knows, even if they don't know that they know of Panama. How many streams has Panama had to date, or sort of had it, however you calculate that?
You know what? I have no idea. because we actually have not been good about making the digital pivot. So, okay. You know, we have like a Bandcamp page and, but like we're not, I don't think, that anyone's put our stuff out into like Spotify, and that's something that's like on the to-do list, but yeah, never have gotten around to it. And for those listening,
I was just trying to get a handle on what 300K listens or streams means. It sounds like a lot to me, but
yeah, it sounds pretty good.
But if Panama had, you know, 500,000 streams, it would give me a reference point,
right.
Terms of where they're at.
Yep.
I guess my other question, Graham, as a musician, is the stigma attached to a certain type of musician? So let's say if this guy was the drummer versus the lead singer, does that make a difference?
Wow, you've now just reminded me of all the jokes that exist when you're in a band about the different, you know, instruments, because the drummers always get made fun of as being like the least sharp in the group or something. But no, that doesn't matter to me, like whatever this person's doing. Obviously, it sounds like they're also involved on the kind of marketing and promotion side of the music. So whatever instrument they play doesn't matter. It's more about the fact that they've successfully released a lot of music, gotten it out onto the streaming platforms, all that stuff that, you know, sounds important and in today's, you know, this day and age. And yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously if we were to count streams of Panama music as the opening intro music for this show, then we'd be pretty high up there because the podcast gets a lot of streams. But no, I have no idea. But I think this makes this candidate really interesting because they have this other piece. And I think, you know, sometimes if they have like an engineering or tech background, this suggests kind of left brain stuff, right? So that's my view.
I completely agree. And I know I was kind of joking about it a little bit, but I do love this music aspect to this candidate. And I know that's sort of in your wheelhouse, Graham, as you know, when you applied to business school, you had, you know, your music side of you as well as your professional side, which actually was in ed tech as well. So it's quite an interesting profile. Their GMAT's good, right? I mean, I know it's only average for their profile, but nevertheless, it's a very good score. Not quite sure about the GPA. It looks a little bit on the lighter side, but the work experience itself, I imagine is at par, but this outside of work stuff looks really super good and super interesting. The nice thing about that too, Graham, is it dovetails so well with their goals post-MBA.
Yeah.
So assume that's authentic. They're not just sort of saying that because obviously it makes perfect sense. But I think that will resonate well with ADCOM, that they're trying to make that little bit of a pivot into that space or whatever. They're only applying, it looks like they're only targeting European schools, which, I mean, they want to end up in Europe, it seems. So that makes sense. But certainly you would think in the US, there might be a couple of business schools in LA or New York that would fit right into their wheelhouse too. If they do ultimately end up applying into US programs, and maybe this is the same with European programs too, Graham, but they need to get into that first round. Whether they're a musician or not, they're still potentially an overrepresented part of the overrepresented population just by the very nature. I'm assuming they're male, but from India, so everything else is just whatever. You're going to be overrepresented, so take on that challenge. But yeah, overall, Graham, I really like this candidate.
Yeah, me too. And I did, you know, it's funny, I had the same question about, gee, you know, they want to land in Europe. And so I get that they have European schools on the list and then a kind of fallback home field option of Indian School of Business. I guess, yeah, I did jump out at me as like, oh, you know, the profile is pretty good and they have an interesting story. And so what about an NYU or, or even a Wharton or a Columbia where there's kind of a noted media and entertainment activity, you know, especially they all have large kind of student clubs that focused on that. You could throw in, you know, some of the California schools too. So I guess, yeah, that's the issue is I don't, I'm just going to admit that I don't have a sense as to, like, between, you know, Cambridge, INSEAD, LBS, and Oxford, which of those programs is best known for media and entertainment. I feel like, you know, obviously London Business School may have an edge being in London, where there's obviously a massive amount of kind of music stuff happening. But I don't honestly, you know, I don't have the answer. And I don't associate those programs off the top of my head with, you know, kind of the music industry. And so they would, I would just recommend that they do some digging. Like, if they are going to maintain this focus on going to school in Europe, they probably should do some digging and figure out, like, hey, have any of these schools placed anybody at Spotify or Netflix or whatever? I mean, that, you know, any of these companies that they have on their list, ByteDance, et cetera. So it'd be good to know, because, I mean, and maybe there's a program they're not thinking of, like maybe an HSA or something that has like a really good relationship with some of the streaming services. Or so I would do the digging there, because I, unfortunately, I just don't personally know which of the schools will be best. And if they get unsatisfactory results when they do that digging, or they're not really happy with what they're hearing, I would then do similar digging at, you know, Wharton, Columbia, NYU, UCLA, just to see like what's the difference. Because it may well be that they could land back in Europe from a top U.S. program without a ton of trouble. I don't know. I mean, it's a tough call. I don't know if, what you make of this piece either.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's tricky. You're exactly right, right? They need to do their due diligence. But for Indian National to go to the U.S. to then land in Europe, that's going to be an extra hurdle for them too.
Yeah.
Maybe ultimately they end up working in the U.S. for a while anyway, and they want to do that. So it just might change their priorities. But yeah, I can see how that would be potentially challenging, using the U.S. to get into Europe, basically.
Right. They might have to just rethink. Yeah. And, you know, the best path could potentially be doing like a STEM, you know, an MBA program that qualifies as STEM in the US, and then they'd have like 3 years to work in the US before getting transferred to the kind of European affiliate or European head office of these companies.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, anyway, interesting profile. I think they need to balance and make sure that that music side comes out, because that's what's going to help them stand out in the pool. There are plenty of people working at like Big Four who have a kind of technical background, et cetera. So yeah, it'd just be great to make sure that all that comes through loud and clear. And, you know, they did say they were going to email us some links so we could check out the music. So they can do that by just sending us an email at info@clearadmit.com. So look forward to kind of checking that out. Alex, you've done a great job, as always, picking out three really interesting profiles. And yeah, we've kind of done it. And I just want to remind everyone to please tell someone you know about this podcast. We really want as many MBA applicants as possible to kind of tune in and learn about MBA admissions through our little kind of case method here. But Alex, thanks as always for all your support on this.
Very good. Thanks, Graham. Stay safe, everyone. Take care.